everyone. Welcome to Webcology here on WMRN.FM. It's the 14th of September, 2023. September's halfway through, and more importantly, there is only 1 week of official summer left. So this is it. This is your last warning. Get out there and enjoy yourself while you can still enjoy yourself in the summer. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media, Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls. And this is a kind of complicated show. We have, we're trying to do a series on AI to get a little bit deeper than the, oh my goodness, there's a new robot in the room that's going to perform miracles while it makes us all unemployed kind of talk. So last week we had Gavin Klondike, a AI researcher and a well, a penetration tester, a red team specialist, and also the person who helped set up the AI village at this year's DEF CON. He explained how large language models worked. If you want a background on how LLMs work, go listen to our last show. It was a fun show. It was a really fun interview. Gonna love to have Gavin on again in the future. This week, we thought we'd go a slightly different direction. We want to talk about the integration of artificial intelligence in commonly used SEO tools. And we also want to talk about how SEOs are using AI in their daily practice. We're going to have two separate guest segments. First, Mark Traphagen, the Vice President of Product Marketing and Training at SEO Clarity. He's going to join us in a few minutes to talk about how a large SEO tool maker integrates AI into the tools they offer SEOs. And a little later on in the show, joining us live from Brighton SEO, we're going to have Craig Campbell come in and talk about how he and his colleagues are using AI in their practice today. First, a little bit of just quick overview on the news. A lot happened this week. We have very little time to talk about it. Google is finally in court in a saga that actually began back in the Trump administration. Then Attorney General Bill Burr filed antitrust charges on Google. And this week, the U.S. Justice Department is going to argue Google abused its power as a monopoly to dominate the search business.
They do?
Well, you remember how Microsoft back in the 90s and early 2000s absolutely dominated the desktop, and that's how they threw their weight around and got people to use all the Microsoft suites of products. And in doing that, probably killed off a number of competing products.
Sure, I do remember that.
The U.S. government took Microsoft to court and literally broke up that dominance. Microsoft was not allowed to have its many of its software packages pre-installed in Windows packages. Similarly, because Google owns the vastly dominant browser, it can pretty much throw its software around at first. You know, you are setting up a new computer. First thing you do is use Edge to download Chrome. And
that's true.
Suddenly you're in the Googleverse. And Google can, you know, through the power of recommendation, pretty much control where your mouse is going to go, right?
Well, yeah, sort of. But yeah. Oh, by the way, a little factoid most people don't know about Windows back in the day. To get around any more antitrust issues, they only completed their products, I know this from a Microsoft person, to 70 or 80%. Remember how they weren't quite done, and you always had like issues that they had to get add-ons for and things?
This would be why.
Yeah, because they let other people develop the other 30% of the product.
Well, the U.S. government is alleging that Google is doing the same sort of thing with Chrome, and with the fact that it's owns the vast majority of the advertising ecosystem, and really the vast majority of search activity happens at Google. So that's happening right now. In fact, I understand that Google CEO might be called to testify sometime this week or next.
Yeah, it's going to be a 3-month trial. It's primarily focusing on the fact that Google is installed on devices by default, like Mozilla and Apple. Google is saying, well, people can always change. But I bet if we asked regular people who don't work in this industry or tech, if they knew they could change, there'd probably be a pretty low percentage that knew how to change their browser. I mean, their search engine. So that's what they're focusing on because they have 90% market share and overall, it varies by country, but not by a lot. And it's worth $1.7 trillion based on that.
So. Story that may end up in court, and this is breaking and currently developing. Well-known search marketer Melissa McKay posted on Twixter a sort of cryptic message, an angry cryptic message, saying that she'd kept quiet about this Google Ads issue that she'd been having. But the last reply from support has her seething. Goes on to say, one of her clients started showing in an expanded targeting experiment, despite the fact that she had specifically opted them out of this out of that setting. This cost her client thousands and thousands of dollars. When she tried to take it up with Google support, she was given a runaround, told it was a bug. Eventually ended up getting a refund. But in the meantime, there's a damaged reputation with the client, clients lost opportunity. And Google's, I don't know, public relations massive misstep. This is the kind of thing that ends up in court if you don't deal with it properly, eh?
Yeah, the quote from Google was from Melissa's account on Twitter. It was, from time to time, the Google Ads team runs incremental experiments on campaigns to test impact of a proposed change. And a team confirmed that for this issue, we might not provide any credit or refund. So that was their official statement when she first started discussing it with them. I mean, in search, we're used to this happening all the time, right? You might be down just because Google's testing something. But you're right. In this case, it definitely could lead to lawsuits because people are losing thousands of dollars, and they directly have stated that they're running a test. So,
now, as I understand it, after Ginny Maven, who is Google's paid search liaison, looked into it, she said in Twixter she would look into it, that a resolution came about. But this is one of the few times where it actually suggests there may well be a relationship between. Between Melissa and Ginny, just as it would be a relationship between many well-known search marketers and Ginny Maven, given that Ginny used to be the lead writer at Search Engine Land on PPC issues and on paid search. So I just thought that was interesting. So when the complaint went really, really, really public, Google took the positive action. Media works.
Did. But how many accounts have no idea that even occurred?
Well, indeed. And that's why we talk about this sort of thing now. So this is really worth checking.
Exactly, yeah.
If you've got a set and forget account, first off, shame on you. Don't do that. And secondly, go take a look.
Uh-huh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, a couple more minutes, then we want to get Mark on the air as quickly as we can. Two quick stories that... I can sort of see John Mueller throwing his hands up and going to the gods or the deities, going, goodness gracious, why do I got to say this? But on the 12th and followed up on the 13th, John Mueller made the point strongly: if you make a change to your website, it's pretty Newtonian. One action will get a reaction. Not necessarily equal and opposite, but it will get a reaction from Google. If you make a change to your website, you're giving Google something new to deal with, and that will have Google look at your website differently. Maybe a little different. Maybe good, maybe bad.
Change. We mean big change, not like you just change one piece of content.
No, indeed. Yeah, but if you do revamp your website, A, you will see a temporary loss of ranking. You might get those rankings right on back again, but it's going to happen. Also, Google will treat your website slightly differently.
Well, that's
Christy,
what.
your complaint with the way John phrased this, though.
Well, yeah, just not the way John phrased it, but just it's reported like it's a water is wet comment, right? Like if I change my website and my URL structure and my page design, Google has to reevaluate my site. So I might not come back where I was, or I might do better depending on the amount of SEOs that were involved in the process. But so it's just kind of a water is wet thing. Of course, it's going to change because I have to reevaluate everything. It doesn't mean it changes for the worse. Just means that, the page that used to rank for X had the content changed, and now it's going to rank for Y because the content doesn't reflect the intent match anymore, something like that.
For anyone who is doing a major site revamp, this is you hear a lot of people say technical SEO doesn't matter anymore. It's all content. That's the only thing that's important. If you're doing a site revamp, even if you're just reskinning a site, this is when you want te your technical SEO by your side.
It is. I get so many
It's
clients. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just saying, I get so many people call me for a site audit on their old site, and they're currently already doing a new site and don't have the SEO involved in that. So I like, you really probably want me involved and to check out your new site because everything from just page design to your CWVs to your URL structures to your internal linking, all those things are going to affect how Google reevaluates the new site. And if you don't have an SEO involved, you might get lucky and you might lose a lot of traffic. So you always want SEO involved from day one of a site redesign. I mean, before you've even coded anything. So.
Okay, lastly in the news section, and this has just been happening in the last day or so. If you live in the United States, Japan, or India, you are well, you're experienced. At least you're able to experience Google's search generative experience. And if you live in the US, Japan, and India, you're probably seeing a banner overlay in search results prompting you to enjoy the search generative experience. I don't live in any of those places. I live in Canada. I'm not seeing the spanner. But Christine, you just came across this in the wild just before we went to air.
No, I didn't. I couldn't generate it. So
Oh,
I tried.
I thought you said you saw this big banner
No.
that pushed everything below the fold.
No, that was they pushed ads. So I was laughing because in one of the experiences that SG generated was the SG was below the fold because the ads took up so much space above the fold. So no one would actually know it was there. But yeah, so what people are seeing is if they haven't opted into SGE, they're getting this banner, but I unfortunately I tried on a guest account, a not logged in account, and my regular account, I couldn't trigger it with the same query. So it probably just means it's a test or an experiment.
Well, to me, that sort of indicates Google is pushing the experience. We know that it ends sometime in December. So, and what comes after that, that's still a big unknown. But yeah, Google is trying to entice people into well, I guess getting experienced. Okay, speaking of experienced. It's really cool having Mark Trabhagen on the show today, speaking about machine learning, LLMs, and integrating AI into tool sets. One of the reasons I think it's so cool is because Mark is the Vice President of Marketing and Training at SEO Clarity. He's been in the SEO world. He's one of the OGs. He's been around for a very, very, very long time. Knows the SEO world backwards and forwards, both from the position as a practitioner and as a well, now for want of a better word, a tool and die maker. First off, Mark, welcome to Webcology.
Thank you, Jim. I haven't had my position described that way before, but maybe I'll use that now. It's ironic because one of my first jobs out of high school was working in a tool and die plant, so I've come full circle.
You were in on some of the earliest thinking in search on machine learning when you were working with Eric Ng. I know you guys were thinking about machine learning 6, 7, 8 years ago, because Eric is what got Dave Davies fascinated with machine learning. I remember the interview, and I heard the light bulb turn on in Dave's mind from like 4,000 miles across the country. Given your experience, early in the days, and again, Mark and Eric were thinking about machine learning long before any of us in the industry were. How do you feel about where we are today?
Well, that's a big question that I could take the rest of my half hour to answer.
Sorry.
So I will not do that because we've got a lot to talk about, but be succinct. But yeah, it was fascinating. I was so privileged to work with Eric Enge at the time of his own company, Stone Temple, back in the day, because Eric was an engineer. He came from an engineering background. And so he was a tinkerer and he always was wanting to get under the hood. So as you know, machine learning technology emerged in theory, he not only studied it, but he actually played with it, built things, built little tools within our agency, things like that. And I got to be on a front row seat of that and see the power of that and get an early understanding of how that works, how things like large language models work and how a training set works and all those sorts of things. So I'm going to grow up with that. And then ending up here in the last 3.5 years at SEO Clarity, coming into a enterprise SEO platform that is pioneer in incorporating machine learning models into its platform long before ChatGPT, realizing that at the time when Middle and Kalpesh were building the SEO Clarity tool, most tools were just simply regurgitating straight data. They would just get raw data from wherever they could and just the one service that they provided was putting it in a handy user interface. They wanted to go way beyond that and realize that that AI gave the ability or the potential to do high level analysis and produce insights that you couldn't get otherwise, to do provide insights for our clients that just the raw data itself might not show. So we've been working with it for many, many years. And then came the generative AI revolution with ChatGPT coming out. And just a quick history on that with us is that we had to take a hard look at it. We knew we were going to be hearing from clients saying, like, what are you going to do with this? When is it going to be in the platform? How can we use it? But we didn't want to use it just for using its sake. So realizing that this was a whole new leap in terms of what it produces and sometimes frightening nature of what it produces, our first step before we built anything was actually to create a manifesto, we call it. It's our SEO Clarity AI manifesto that is a statement of principles and ethics that guide all of our use of AI. And we're very serious about it. It's public. You can Google SEO Clarity AI manifesto. It's just a set of principles that will be continually built and worked on. But that was our first step because we wanted to make sure that if we built anything from this generative AI into the platform, that it would be safe for our clients, first of all, that it would be secure, that their data wouldn't be getting out anywhere that they didn't want it to be, and that it would be truly useful, that it would not just be smoke and mirrors with empty promises. So that's kind of my history of involvement with it leading up into what I'm doing in the present day.
I guess the first question to ask. This almost feels like I want to unravel a ball of yarn. Because it was like seven questions I have on just from what you just said. How is generative AI used in SEO Clarity? How does it improve the package?
So that's been one of the most exciting things. It's absolutely the most visible. 90% of what we do with AI is invisible to the client. They see it in the results that it produces, but it's not there. Whereas generative AI in our platform is very visible. In fact, we even gave it a personification. We call it SIA, S-I-A, not to be confused with the singer. And SIA is an acronym, stands for SEO Clarity Intelligent Assistant. So SIA is built into multiple parts of our platform and is using the same technology that ChatGPT uses, that other models use. We're multi-model, meaning we're not dependent just on ChatGPT's model, but we'll use whatever model or combination of models best applies to things. But just quickly, the rundown of what we've been doing with SIA this year and what we've introduced already. No other SEO platform has these kinds of functions out there. There's some that are talking about developing things like it's active. Our clients are using these today. So very quickly, we're using it for on-page SEO and things like suggesting titles and meta descriptions, getting and the maybe I should preface all of this by saying, I think the exciting thing is that we are not, whereas ChatGPT just goes out and scans the entire internet and the entire electronic corpus of what's available to it. So it's very broad and generalized in its knowledge on any particular topic and can pull in a lot of bad stuff as well as a lot of good stuff, as we all know. We train our models very specifically on our own data. So it's a very controlled environment. So we know the best practices. We know, you know, how to train this thing. So it can suggest, you know, more creative titles and meta descriptions that that are more likely to draw in somebody when they see it on search, that sort of thing. So there's, of course, content generation, our content fusion writing product, help content production product that helps writers bring all the data together they need to create the best possible content for the users and for search engines. It's there. That's where we've really concentrated on using it carefully and ethically. It can do things like generate suggested outlines for a writer to get the pen moving, get it going, and even create, rewrite some sections of existing content or create some sample paragraphs. One of the controls we put on it is we do not allow clients to write an entire piece of content using Sia.
Why not?
It won't allow them to do that. We don't want it to be used for that purpose because we don't think that that's a good, we don't think it's healthy for the client. We're being kind of the nanny there, kind of the parent, and saying like, you might want to do this, but we don't think it's good for you to do it.
No, that's really good to hear, Mark. I really like that you guys have added that feature in there.
Yeah, again, like we didn't want to just put this out there and say, like, see, we can do that. You know, we can just, you can create, just, you know, plug in your keyword. Here's a content piece, put it on your site, you know, and do 1,000 more. We wanted to keep the writers involved. It's always as an assistant and as a tool, not as the doing the whole piece of work. Just quickly, some other areas where you see it throughout our platform, keyword and topical research. We've been able to expand the kind of information that people are used to in getting. Usually when you do keyword research, you get search volume and maybe one or two other data points, and that's it. Using this technology now and using it on our database and all of our, you know, the billions of keywords that we scrape off of Google every day, we can do things like generate a search journey. Say, these are the most likely searches that people do before and after your keyword, and give you a whole list of those, which helps you with creating, you know, contents at all different levels of the journey. We can suggest the likely demographics of the searchers for your keyword, the people, the audience for that. And also the most likely other topics that they might be searching. So it's not just straight generative AI generated. Again, it's coming out of and it's integrated with all of our other data, we're sure of and highly tested. Just quickly, a couple more things that we're using it for. One is in our link optimizer for internal linking. So we use it to do advanced semantic analysis of, you know, where you should be linking, interlinking on your content, where the most likely and valuable links are between your content pieces on your site, suggest anchor text, optimize the anchor text, and then use working with Clarity Automate that we've talked about before on this program to put those links out at scale instantly with the touch of a button. Final thing is SEO task management. We're looking for more and more tasks that we are able to automate using AI technology. So that can be anywhere from things like in huge bulk, translating all of your keywords into another language is one, you know, one use of that. It can be auto-generate if this then that kind of format, auto-generating keyword tags by saying if the keyword has these certain characteristics or the URL has these certain characteristics, then give it this tag. So those sorts of tasks would be a lot more coming that are very cumbersome to do, especially at enterprise scale. So those are some examples of the kind of things where we're using this newest technology.
I have to say, I really love the internal linking because internal linking, as far as I can tell, and I've talked to other technical SEOs, we've seen an increase in the value that Google puts on the internal link structures. Mm-hmm. And I actually can see actual increases from optimizing in your internal links. But the issue is it's so hard on an enterprise site where they might have millions of links internally.
Yeah.
So that's such a great offer that you're doing, especially because you're using semantics to develop the anchor text and the relationships between the pages. So that's great. I think that's
Yeah, thank you.
Really, really super helpful.
Clients are very excited about it. And yeah, we've already got some fantastic case studies that we're developing. Some of the clients here on amazing results that have happened already from this. But it's something that they knew they should be doing, but just could not do, again, because of the scale. When you're talking about tens of thousands or hundreds or millions of pages, it's very, very daunting. But this technology can find all the best link opportunities and set them up for you. And again, with Clario Automate, actually implement them right away across the platform.
Yeah, and that's amazing because that saves you so much tedious work hours there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mark, one thing you said earlier that I really caught on is LLMs had been, machine learning was being used by SEO Clarity before November of 2022 when ChatGPT was introduced. But in November 2022, you had to look at what you were doing and sort of step back a second and reevaluate. What kind of impact was that when ChatGPT came out and you started realizing how different it was than I guess what you were using or how much more capable? How big an impact was that really?
I think it impacted in terms of, we know that we have some very, very smart clients and they're watching a search world just like the rest of us are, and they're watching what's happening out there. And when something new comes along, there's the FOMO sets in, right? If this is something good, we don't want to be left out, but we're also a little scared of it maybe. You know, right from the beginning, those of us who are paying attention, we're seeing, within a month or so after ChatGPT hit the mainstream and became the big deal that it is, the scary stories were already coming out, right, about potential misuses of it creating, hallucinating, as they say, totally bogus information, all kinds of things. So we knew we were going to be hearing from clients and saying that, hey, if this is safe or you can find a safe way to use it, we want to use it. But as I said at the beginning, we also didn't want to just use it for the sake of using it, just like it's a shiny new thing, so we have to use it. We're driven at SEO Clarity by the wants and needs of our clients. Because we're independent, we're not dependent on investors or anything else, we're self-sustaining, we have that freedom to do that. Our clients are our bosses, and they tell us where to go. But we also have a responsibility to them, hence the AI manifesto in the beginning, to give them guidance. And they depend on that for us. So we took a lot of time to think about how can we build this in a careful, responsible way, to use it ethically, that again, because we work with enterprise level clients, they're very sensitive to this. They do not want to have any shade of black hat. They don't want to have any shade of gaming the system out there. And yet they need economy of scale desperately. So it was a balancing act in that regard.
So how important was defining the AI manifesto, the code of ethics, before moving forward and actually developing product?
We consider that absolutely critical. Like, it really was our first step. Before we began thinking about dreaming about what's all the cool things we could do about this and soliciting ideas from clients and things like that, it was because of the potential power and danger of this technology, we felt a distinct responsibility to start from an ethical position and actually put that into words. And we hope put that out there. And we made it very public to be, we hope, an example. I was encouraged to see just in the news this past week, a number of large technology companies had a summit at the White House, and they all signed in together on a similar kind of document, saying for ethical uses of generative AI. It was not just a publicity stunt. It was not just afterthought, like we should tack this on. It was the beginning of our process. And then once we had that in place and committed to it, then we felt like we could go forth and build some things that would be useful, but also safe and effective for our clients.
Sorry, Jim. I was going to say, it's very nice to see the SEO industry ahead of everyone else on ethics, or at least SEO Clarity ahead of everyone else on ethics and AI.
It's not always known for that, is it?
No, it's not. But I think that's great that you guys started with that, because it is so important with this technology.
When you When you introduce a new product, you have to test it and put it through its paces and work it really hard before you bring it and put it in front of the public. But this has all happened in the span of months. November 2022, ChatGPT is released. You guys take a look at your products and say we have to do some more development. How quickly are you able to write up your AI manifesto, your code of ethics, and then start applying that to how and why you're developing products and introducing them to at the client level?
Thankfully, we had two things in our favor. In that one, you've already brought forward, which is our years and years of experience in machine learning and AI in general. We weren't newbies at this. We understood the technology, we understood the theory. Our engineers are very, very skilled in it. So we already had, what it took to build quickly. The other factor is that we have a very, very agile development team. It's one of the things we pride ourselves on. There's no other platform out there that turns out as much improvements, innovations, everything on the platform as we do on a week-to-week basis. So we had those two things in place. We knew how to test models. We knew how to build them. So by the late spring, we were able to actually start putting out some of these things into the platform for our clients. Now, our client, we all make them very.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Everywhere, these things are constantly being tested and improved going forward. We wouldn't put it out there at all until we were sure that it was at least useful. But it's a constant process of feedback and improvement, iteration all along the way.
I only have, a couple more questions for you. I don't want to keep you all afternoon. We have... one of the things SEO Clarity is known for is responsiveness to clients. If they need something changed in their package, you guys are pretty quick on it. What if somebody is working with your AI innovations and has suggestions? They want something more in the tool that you offer, or they think it would be better if prompted slightly differently. How open are you to making changes on a meta level and on a per package level?
Yeah, we're not just open to those. We thrive on them. It's really how we built the business around the clients and around what they want and need. We've always had a saying that we live by, that if at least two clients want something built and it's technologically feasible to do it, we'll do it. And most part, we've kept that over the years. That being said, with this in particular, we're very, very eager for and needy for the client feedback. So there's feedback tools right in the platform where these different, where SIA exists throughout the platform. People can easily give feedback immediately. They see something that doesn't look right to them or they're suspect about. And there's also, our clients are very familiar with our open roadmap and suggestion tool. They leave us suggestions all the time for all kinds of improvements in the platform. And we, they do that because they know that we respond to them and, research them and see which ones are feasible, which ones will benefit clients the most. And we go to work building them. So that feedback has been and continues to be a critical part of the process.
This is a much, I apologize for asking this question. It's a much harder one to answer. But is there any way that you can quantify just the efficiencies of using AI in the SEO Clarity project packages? Like, how can you quantify how much time, money, effort, or whatever you saved your clients or a specific client story?
Well, we have studies currently running on that with some of the clients, so I don't have those figures yet.
Yeah, it's a crappy question, dude.
Anecdotally, I know, but anecdotally, we are getting incredible responses from our clients who are using these things. There was, just saying that things that they, first of all, they're doing things that they wouldn't have done before, even though they knew how to do them. Because again, we work with enterprise clients, huge websites, at the scale they have to work at, the tasks were just too daunting. And now those things are just things that they do every day. So, you know, there's that quantification. And I know with like our Clarity Automate platform, I think in our survey, we saw that, enterprise SEOs spend take weeks waiting for changes to be implemented through dev on the average, and many times months. Mm-hmm. Now, when as quickly as they can formulate it and build it and test it, they can put it into action. So you're reducing, weeks and months of waiting to a day or two. So again, we're trying to get the metrics on that and put together some studies on that, case studies on that. But the anecdotal evidence so far is just amazing. People are loving it.
Well, Mark Traphagen, Vice President of Marketing and Training at SEO Clarity. Man, thank you for joining us. It's always fun when you or CEO Mattel join us. Please feel to stick around. We're going to be jumping to Craig Campbell, the SEO based out of Glasgow. Really looking forward to this next interview. We're going to be talking about how SEOs are using AI. So again, feel free to stick around, but we're jumping to Craig. Friend Craig Campbell is sitting in our green room. He's been a SEO for over 20 years based in Glasgow. He is currently in Brighton at Brighton SEO. And Craig, welcome to Webcology. I am so glad we finally got you on the air.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Thank you for the nice introduction as well. And yes, still got my Brighton SEO ticket on.
Right on.
Ready to go to the party after this.
Craig, that was a crappy introduction given the impact you're having in SEO right now. You are you're having, I think, one of the time of your life right now, if I imagine where you're at in your career. You're in the madman stage of your career. You, Bibi the Link Builder, Corey, there's a whole group of SEOs in Europe who are ripping things up, and it's wonderful watching you guys from afar. I'm truly enjoying it. How's it going?
All good. All good. It's always fun to try different things and play with new technology, new toys, new tools. Life is good. It's good to travel, go to conferences, network, as well as, playing with all the tools and just try, certainly for me, I can't really speak for anyone else, but like to try and think outside the box, try and blow things up, understand how things work a little bit better. And it's a lot of fun. I can't complain.
You're at Brighton SEO right now, and I imagine a lot of talk is about AI, using AI for this task, that project, or whatnot. What are people talking about?
To be honest, I haven't listened to a single presentation.
No, that's the fun part. So when you're sitting around over drinks saying, hey, this is what I did.
So more drinking than presentations, but there is Alida Solis is there talking about AI and the impact that it's having on SEO. There's various other speakers talking about AI. There's new tool providers there. For example, I met a few guys today. ScaleNut are another AI content flow tool, which is really good. So I sat down with that guy he talked me through the tool and it looked really interesting. So I've had a look at a few things. As I say, my attention span getting old is not great. So sitting and listening to all the presentations, it gets harder as I get older.
Oh, indeed. I totally relate to that. But yeah, again, you're sitting at the bar or over supper having drinks with your colleagues. And, you know, trading war stories. How are you using AI in your practice? And how are some of your colleagues talking about it?
So I play around with AI. Of course, I'm still very much on the fence as to whether AI is going to be hit in 6 months' time by, you know, utilizing it in an aggressive way. So I'm quite scared on my websites that actually make me real money to use it still at this stage. However, am I allowed to share my screen?
Oh, you can, but only Christine and I will see it. This is pure radio.
right. Cool. I was going to show you a screen or the search console of a website, and it's fully automated. It automatically posts the WordPress, done it for the last 6 months, thrown up 1,162 blog posts. It's had a couple of million impressions, a fair amount of clicks. So does this stuff stick? We can get AI to work using the processes that we use. The big question for me is how long is it before it drops off again? So we've had 6 months utilizing the exact way that we want to do it. And, we don't just take it from ChatGPT and throw it up in a website or anything. You know, there's a little bit more to it. Such as maybe using QuillBot to paraphrase the content, a little bit of human editing, but it's working okay on certain websites that we're messing around with, but I still don't have the greatest faith in the long term whether Google are going to come along and basically devalue all of that content that's made with the current AI tools that are out there. I might be completely wrong with that, and I hope I am. And like anything, I am probably going to turn around and kick myself in 6 months' time going, you should have used it, 6 months earlier. But when you're doing okay, the way that you're currently working, it does scare me a little bit. So yeah, I'm not using my money websites, but
so your bread and butter websites are still an AI enhanced, but your experimental websites, they're still gaining impressions and gaining traffic.
Yeah,
is it a rapid or a slow gain? Is it steady?
I'm finding it takes a little bit of time to get stuff indexed. It probably around about 2 or 3 months. I'm assuming that's because of the sheer volume of people throwing out articles. So indexation at the start is a little bit problematic, but once it goes, it's fairly rapid.
Okay. I have the same fear as you do, Craig. By reading the helpful content update, if you read the details of it, there are things in there that AI can't meet. Simple things like originality or uniqueness. So I definitely agree. I would not use it on a money site right now until we know for sure, especially because the HCU is a machine learning algorithm. So it could be not specifically targeting AI, but targeting things AI can't do well without a lot of human editing. But I was just curious because LLMs now, the ChatGPT revolution, kind of reminds me of a really good spinner like from back in the days, a Black Hat, right? So how would you compare like people who were early in the industry? And for people who don't know, spinners were ways to scrape content and rewrite it. In this case, that the algorithms are rewriting it from like ChatGPT. But I was just curious, is it a comparison or is it not a comparison?
It probably is a slight comparison. Again, building a business using something like the best spinner back in the day, which still, I know people that still use that, believe it or not. It can work to a certain degree in very low level niche markets. I know a lot of people who use you know, they basically take someone else's content, run it through that tool, and boom, it works on a real local, crappy, non-competitive level. Does that stuff work at the you know, at any competitive level? I don't think it does. And, you know, that is my fear for a lot of the kind of AI content. Is it good enough to rank in any competitive market?
I'm just So you don't see a threat to content writers or content editors moving forward?
Yes, I do actually. You know, I think many people, you know, have got rid of a lot of the content writers. You know, even for me, I own a guest post, a link selling company, and we were able to cut down significantly on the cost of the guest posts. We literally don't care as long as it gets in. So we were paying writers to write the guest posts. Now, for me, as long as that stuff gets indexed, it passes value, and the customers are the same. So we can cut out a lot of content writing cost at that point. And I do see and hear of many people utilizing AI and getting rid of their content writing teams. The biggest argument that I hear from people who use it are, how do we know that the content writers themselves are not using it anyway? That's the big dilemma. So you could be paying for what you believe to be, you know, handwritten content, and it's, you know, pulled out of whatever tool that people are using. So that's obviously a big concern for SEOs. So, I don't know if all content writing will go down, but I certainly think there's a lot of stuff that ChatGPT does very well. And also what I would add as well, when you're doing email marketing campaigns, when you're doing social media, you can use AI for all of that stuff. We are only concerned about plagiarism on your money websites. So you can utilize it in a lot of other ways, which I think speeds up things and cuts down costs for content writers.
You know, a lot of time we talk about SEO, we talk about the content, we talk about technical SEO, we talk about the websites. We don't often talk about the business end of SEO, actually the actual running a business. Do you see any way that AI products can be helpful to practitioners who maybe really good on the technical side, good on the content side, but not so good on the actual running a business side? Is there anything out there that you've seen that would be helpful to somebody who wants to put in the effort to be a good business person?
I'm not so sure AI is going to help you too much in terms of becoming a good business person. As such, you know, will it help you with a lot of things? Of course it will. You know, not just SEO things, it will help you with a lot of different things, you know, creating, you know, sheets and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's a lot of things you can do with automation, but I think for me, I'm not sure. I think a lot of the business stuff comes from experience and in your brain and how well you're educated rather than AI. So I'm not too sure I would agree that it's going to help massively on the business side.
I was actually thinking more like banking products and bookkeeping products and stuff, but don't buy that.
So you're being really responsible about how you're using it, because you have been through the history of sites dropping out of the rankings for, you know, overnight, right? I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
So, but do you see that industry-wide, or do you see a lot of people, especially in the areas you work in, who are just like throwing it up there thinking that's not a big problem? Or what is the general psyche that's going on with the industry?
I personally, from the people that I interact with, think that 95% of people, SEOs in particular, are fairly lazy, and they will use any way of cheating, if you like. And so I think, you know, I see a lot of people just throwing up stuff and they're not considering things. But like, you know, many of us who've been in the industry for years, we see these updates. We know what it's like to basically have a business pulled from under your feet. And it's no laughing matter when you're earning really good money and then Google decide to do something and, you know, and you're not earning any money anymore. It's not a nice feeling. So, yeah, that's why I'm always kind of ultra cautious. I know I've got some form of reputation for being black hat as hell. And yes, of course, I do enjoy that side of it. But the reality is most of where I make real long-term consistent money is from websites that I do properly.
I wrote an article. I can't say all the words on here, but black hat, white hat, gray hat, and butt hats, I guess I could say. Meaning that most people don't do the black hat on the cash register that pays the bills and pays their employees. It's usually done, responsible ones do it on other sites, unless it's just their own site and they don't care. Because people's jobs are on the line if you do it on a site where it destroys the site. When we say this, for people who have not been in industry long, especially I think it was more algorithms that were brutal in the early days, you literally would lose your entire site overnight, like 90% traffic loss, and you were never getting it back. So so I think with wisdom comes with experience, and using it on your cash register is probably not the best idea. So I like that you also do that the same way. So.
I am curious, Craig. You noted that you have a reputation for being black hat, but most of your work is in the quote unquote do it right category. Is that a millstone around your neck, or has that been a millstone around your neck in your career?
Not so much. Not so much. Like I do things that you know have been fun to try. Some people will see it as immoral. Or whatever. I've never harmed anyone or anything. I've had a lot of fun, and you know, I've made money. I've lost money. I've blown up websites. I've done, you know, we've all done it, right? And whether people care to admit it, but I think, you know, I've actually got quite a lot of good positive feedback from, you know, the way that you know I talk about mistakes and the way that I do try and test different things. So I wouldn't change it. You know, there's certainly guys out there who work, and I get that, you know, I'm very good friends with a lot of people who work in the kind of corporate space, the white hat space, and they can't be seen to be saying the same things that I say, you know, buying links and doing this and doing that, because they're charging, you know, big corporate clients a fortune and they've got to do the job differently. So we've all got our own space in the market, and it would be boring if we were all the same. So yeah, I just like to think you know, I'm a bit of a guy that just likes to duck and dive and try a few things, and that gets out there, and some people love you for it, some people hate you for it. But on the flip side, you look at guys like Mark. I remember watching Mark years ago with the other guy Eric on a lot of video content back in the day, and you know, I'm sure Mark will say, like, you know, for all the good stuff that they do, there's probably still people coming at them for something or another. So you can't please everyone. So if I can please a small proportion of the industry, you know, by, you know, doing things my way, then I've won. You know, we can't all say the same thing and talk about the same stuff. It was my way into it.
Go ahead. Sorry, I was just agreeing. I would say that black hat gets a bad rap a lot of the times for the people that do bad things with it, but negative SEO and things like that. But black hat, that's not harming anybody. We learned a lot from that. In the early days, the people we learned the most from were like Greg Bozer and Oilman. Todd Friesen, I used to say Oilman, but yeah, Todd Friesen, people like that who blew it up doing black hat because you learned what the algorithms did. So I think we've learned a lot from people doing black hat, and it's a toolkit. My article was about when that's not okay, like when someone's not properly informing a client or using it on their cash register site. That's different. But but we've learned a lot from what black hats do. So I don't have a personal issue, and I think it's unfortunate sometimes people hear black hat and they just think like hacker or a really bad person. And it's like, no, a lot of black hats are just testing Google's limits, And as long as they're not harming a client or harming somebody who's relying on that money to come in, then there's no issue with that. It's just what Google doesn't like. It's not.
I once did hear a rumor, Craig, about you, a wagon and a bunch of cell phones.
Was that you, Craig?
Well, was that you? Is there any truth? So you took a bunch of cell phones in a wagon through Glasgow and actually changed how Google's search results were constituted. Is that true?
Yeah. So there's a video on YouTube. So it was actually Holly Starks who started that. Now, what we were trying to do was do click-through rate on Google My Business listings. We were able to cause traffic jams with all these phones and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, click-through rate and engagement on a Google My Business or a Google Business profile, as they've called it now, you know, that helped move the needle on your GMB listings. And we wanted to try that out and see if it worked. And yes, it did. and we had a lot of fun causing traffic jams and stuff as well. So again, you've just got to try stuff and see what works. And, you know, it was a lot of work, you know, to hell with running out with all these phones and putting in the direction requests and all that kind of stuff. It's a lot of work, but it showed us that engagement signals and driving requests did help your Google business listing.
That's so funny. I had no idea that was you. I know the story, but I didn't know it was you. That's great. Very imaginative, very creative.
I remember the day that Google decided it was going to publish Twitter posts completely unfiltered. If you posted it, it was going to be going up on Google. It was an SES Chicago happening, and Sugar Ray and another Scottish SEO, Dave, former boxer, forgetting his last name now. So we were all over breakfast, like tweeting away, seeing it appearing on Google like 10 minutes later. It was fabulous. That lasted maybe 2 hours, and then they turned that off.
Yeah, it's fun things to try. So
yeah,
why not?
Experimenting. Yeah, helps.
Is there any experiments that you would have done a few years ago that you wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole today?
No, I'd probably do them all again.
just see if they were.
You know, experiments, like I got a politician's domain name. The guy's called Nigel Farage. He was the leader of the Brexit party, grabbed his expired domain name, got a whole load of shit for it from all of his following. however, my purpose was that big domains do expire. And obviously this guy had backlinks from the BBC, The Independent, every editorial, like literally millions of pounds worth of PR, he literally just forgot to renew. And I'd done it as an example, a fun story to tell people, and it obviously to get PR for myself as well. But even at that, I got a lot of hassle for it. But in the end, it makes for a good story. And obviously it was all done with an educational angle. It wasn't ever done to hurt anyone. I just wanted some press, and what better way to do it than grab a politician's domain name? And
indeed. Okay, we are so closing in on the edge of time here. So I just have like a couple more questions. We really should sort of try to stem back to AI and its effect on the industry. And I'm gonna have to ask one of those like terribly open-ended questions. But it gives you a lot of leeway. Looking midterm to long term, how I hate phrasing questions like this, but how will it be impactful, AI in the industry in the next year? What do you reckon is going to happen?
I mean, obviously, it's very difficult to see. I think, you know, the way that I see things going and how quick that I see the AI tools developing, you know, I think it's going to be genuinely the way forward. I think people are, Google are just going to have to suck it up. And you know, the way that the tools that are being developed with all these SEO people's feedback and everything else, we're going to get close to what we would consider really good content from AI, and hopefully alongside some imagery and some automation in terms of publishing that to websites. So I am not sure Google can cope with the way that these things have been set up and built. And I'm hoping that it does pull through and becomes a regular thing. You know, I get that Google, you know, can detect it and all that kind of stuff, but the sheer volume of it, the way it's been used, the way it's been tweaked and everything else, I just think it'll be really, really hard to keep this a lid on it. So I'm hoping that it makes our lives as SEOs a lot easier, because for me, I have, like many of you guys probably have, I have got literally hundreds of domain names that I have never gotten around to putting anything on. So if AI really does become effective, I will be able to get to those projects eventually before I die.
We all have those, don't we?
AI might give you the ability to get to all these projects before you die, but will AI allow us to die as SEOs?
No, I still think you need people that understand what they're doing in the background and, you know, structuring things and, you know, using the tools and everything else. I think, you know, it is, you know, jobs are going to be lost at the content writing level potentially. But it just means people are going to have to adapt, like many of us have had to adapt over the years anyway. And if that means we have to adapt to utilizing AI content and that, you know, whatever the process is, whether there's, you know, X amount of human editing and all these kind of tweaks, I think, you know, jobs will be lost. I just think it's too big and it's grown like wildfire. So I just can't see Google being able to stop it.
We've gone full clock. Thank you so much for spending time with us, Craig. And Mark, who's actually just left the green room, thank you for spending time with us in absentia. Craig, we're going to have to invite you on again. I have 100 more questions. And on a quick personal note, I have, and I think a whole bunch of people in the SEO world have been enjoying watching your family grow up. Thank you for sharing that. It's given a lot of people great joy.
Oh, thank you very much, Jim. And it'll always be a pleasure to come back on and talk some other time if you want.
Brilliant, mate. Thank you so much. Craig Campbell, again, thank you for spending time with us. Christine, we've gone full clock. Is any last words?
Oh, just one quick thing. Google has an animated logo today for Wordle. So if you want to go check that out. Yeah, they do.
Okay. Hey, friends. Yeah. Again, special thanks to Mark Traphagen from SEO Clarity and Craig Campbell from Craig Campbell SEO. You've been listening to Webcology on WMR.fm on the 14th September, 2023. Be good to each other, be kind, rank well, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Assisted customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.